Okay, so it tells me it's 10 o'clock. I'll go ahead and call it to order for the regular scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting, August 18th. If the audience will join the board for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning. First, our agenda is the public comment number one. This comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. Anybody that wants to address?
Come on up to the microphone.
You don't want to talk about one of these proposals? You're not presenting anything later?
Not about our proposal, but one other item you have on.
Okay, oh, well, in that case, would you want to speak and just tell Mark to be quiet?
I could.
Okay. Well, I know he listens to you, right?
He says it won't do any good.
Well, no, the
audience needs to know we always banter back and forth all the time, you know.
We always lose, so.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. It's not our presentation, but there was another item on your agenda we wanted to briefly mention, talk to you about, and that's under the consent agenda 7, the first item. We noted on your that you have an agreement with the Iowa Department of Transportation on the closure next year of 69 from E18 down to Ames. Mm-hmm. We'd actually ask that you consider tabling that and revisiting that. That's the main road on 69 from Story City down to Ames, and I know the good people of Ames like to have the good people of Story City come to Ames as directly as possible rather than being detoured around. You know, remember a couple of years ago, they redid 69 through there, and that road was closed for a considerable period of time, and understandably so, but to close that entire stretch again, I know they're going to be redoing a bridge, I think, in that area. I think the first question is, does the entire length of that need to be closed, or only that one-mile stretch need to be closed? And secondly, we would ask that rather than necessarily closing that portion of it, can the DOT look at doing that, Mike or more the engineer, one lane at a time?
With stoplights, one lane, so at least you can get, you know, emergency vehicles and some of the traffic through there on one lane.
May I ask a question from a procedural standpoint? Normally, like in the past when the roads were closed, was there a consultation with you guys and the neighboring communities regarding that, or is that strictly the purview of the DOT, which is the state agency? My question basically is, like some of the others, we didn't have a whole lot of say with 69 going down through Huxley and so forth. That decision was not a decision that we had any authority or control. We had a lot of people very concerned about the amount of traffic that was coming in that particular area.
I don't know the answer.
Back to asking from a procedural standpoint, without Darren Moon basically being here to understand it a little bit, I'm not sure what authority we actually have to ask him to reroute or make some of the suggestions that you're proposing.
I don't know, but there must be some, or they wouldn't be asking your permission for this agreement. Well, and actually, it was just dumb luck on our part. We just looked at the agenda because we knew we were coming today, and we saw this on here, and that, again, they're going to reroute it, and we're just asking.
And that's what they're asking us, is for permission to use the county road as part of the detour.
That's all they're doing.
That's all they're asking us, is for permission to include E18 as part of the detour.
Yeah. Well, we just, you know, when they had it closed before, I'm just surprised they didn't do that bridge then, you know, but to do it again now and take all that time, it's quite a few months that they're going to have that closed.
It would appear to be prudent for us, even if all we're doing is giving them permission to use the county road, but then to raise any issues or concerns that, you know, you're bringing to us in hopes that prior to that, there will be some consideration for that. I think if we somehow would include that, I think it would at least say that we are conveying the wishes of the of our community and city leaders regarding the possible interruptions that it will cause and the timeliness of that. So it would
we can certainly pull it and then ask the engineer to come next week with some more information.
We'd certainly appreciate that.
That would give you guys the opportunity to let the DOT know what your opinions are.
Exactly.
Because, again, all they're asking us to do is to include E18 as part of the detour.
Yeah, well, you guys probably have a little more authority than we do, and if they heard it from you, it'd probably carry a little more weight.
So we're looking at which one are we referring to?
It's the first one.
No, 7-1.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, we can pull that and ask the engineer to come back next
week. Yeah, it'd be appreciated.
Okay. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thanks.
Chalk it up. You won one.
Next, we'll have agency reports, juvenile court services, Shirley Faircloth.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I always appreciate coming before the board to give you an update, and certainly want to take the opportunity to thank you for all the services you provide for the residents of Story County. We really have excellent services here compared to some of the other counties throughout the state, and it's really because of your dedication and commitment to the residents, so thank you. Want to give a brief overview first of just FY14-15 fiscal budget. There was an amendment on July 7th with the board. That amendment was an amount of $15,937.50. That was due to Youth and Shelter Services not originally submitting an invoice to the county in time for processing that fiscal year. However, with that amendment, we still did remain within that line item, the original line item of $30,000. So all of our line items last fiscal year were within the targeted budget items. For fiscal year 15 and 16, the board has committed to vehicle fuels and maintenance. We have made some changes in that contract this year. We've partnered with the Story County Community Services to share the use of the county van. Juvenile court will still have access to the vehicle and will reimburse the county the state rate of the mileage rate. It's currently 45 cents a mile. At any given time, that may fluctuate up or down, but whatever that current state rate is, what the county will receive. This is really a benefit for both the county as it will reduce the cost for vehicles, and it still allows us to have access and be able to support families in the area. The line item for the juvenile home last year was used for renovations at Rosedale Shelter. That has been zeroed out, and there is nothing in that line item this year. There still continues to not be a girls' state training school in the state of Iowa, and at this point appears to be no forward movement from the legislature to correct that either. Mm-hmm. Personnel items, we do have a small amount, just $100 in that. That's for medical emergencies, clothing, bus tickets. We are trying to tap into decaterization monies that for individual services. We go to that fund first, but this is a fund that we like to have available in the event we aren't able to get a quick turnaround and have to provide for an emergency need. We also have protective living, which is the county share of court-ordered detention and shelter care outside of Rosedale. This line item also covers medical expenses for youth who are placed in detention and also partial costs of evaluations. Through Youth and Shelter Services, the county helps support the following programs. One is the shelters, the workshop, that being specifically Rosedale. This is for the county share of the mandated cost of that shelter care, in addition to a guarantee that we have a shelter here in Story County to provide services for local residents. We also provide assistance to their employment assistance program, and that is helping develop jobs locally for youth who are at risk with either Department of Human Services or Juvenile Court Services. Public Education Services provides for community meetings to address substance abuse prevention for Story County, and you also help support the counseling, evaluation, and prevention services in the eastern part of the county, that being the Nevada site with youth and shelter services. One change that the board did approve when we met on July 7th was for fiscal year 16 and 17 to have some of that funding for the youth and shelter services program move towards into the asset process. And Deb Childress, George Blitzus, and Tom Southard met on, I think it was last week. I don't have the exact date here. Was that meeting last week, Deb? Yes. That meeting, I've been informed, went very well. Deb has been very active in helping with that process and making that a smooth transition. She's made the commitment to help what Youth and Shelter Services with any questions as they arise, and I think that will be a very smooth transition. Anything to add on that, Deb? Okay. State-wise, the budget, the legislature and the governor did appropriate sufficient funds. They essentially remain status quo. Juvenile court continues to look at the balanced and restorative justice approach to assure community safety, hold youth responsible and accountable for any delinquent acts that they would commit, and also to teach the young person new skills so that better decisions are made in the future. So state funding for delinquency treatment programs basically come through three line items: the Department of Human Services, graduated sanctions, and court-ordered services. This year there was a shift in drug court monies. We do not have a drug court here in Story County. The closest one we have is in Marshall County. Does not appear that there would be any new funds or any addition to provide services specifically for Story County through that stream. I've got just a list of services that we have available for Story County clients. It's alcohol and drug education classes, aggression replacement training. We have a communication contract in which we use Skype or go-to meetings so that families can have regular contact with their son or daughter if they're placed out of the home to maintain either family visits or family counseling services. We also have community service, detention alternative programs, including the electronic monitor, so we can keep higher risk clients in the community and still provide services at home and get parents involved. We also do drug testing. We have a fire prevention program, various in-office and in-home family counseling programs, a restitution program. We work closely with the schools, and we have school liaisons in the Ames High School and a part-time person in the middle school. And we have victim offender mediation. I've attached to your report a copy of just the Story County DCAT programs and some of the programs that they're operating, the most significant being the mental health programs that are available to every school in the county so that we can provide some immediate services. Our number of referrals in Story County, I'm happy to report, has decreased. I think that's certainly a tribute to the many programs that we have available through the prevention programs that you're providing dollars for in addition to DCAT. The highest amount of referrals that we have are really coming around assault and theft at this time. We do have several programs that we're maintaining in our office, an 8-week anger management program. And then we'll be setting up meetings currently with the school to address if we should implement any additional programs in the school. That's all we've got.
Sorry, it's been busy.
Thank you again for all you do on behalf of our youth in Story County. And so I'm glad to see that the relationship or the issues that we discussed earlier, working with ISS, is moving forward in a positive manner for both entities. And so, again, this again shows the tremendous strong support and networking that exists between agencies within our county. So I appreciate everybody coming to the table and working together on that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next will be consideration of minutes from August 11th.
Move approval.
Second, are there any additions or corrections? Clinton?
Aye.
Two? Aye. Those have been approved. Consideration of personnel actions?
None.
Or any? That makes that simple.
Right.
Consent agenda. We'll pull item number one and ask the engineer to come back with some more information next week. And we need to add utility permits 1622, 23, and 24, and road closure 1607.
Yeah, I would move approval with noted changes indicating a removal of item number one and asking the engineer to come back next week for further discussion.
I'll second that. Is there anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Two? Aye. Consent agenda has been approved. Public hearing items. First consideration of ordinance 241, amending ordinance number 161, standards for road identification and addressing numbering system by renaming a portion of West 4th Street in unincorporated Story County to West 3rd Street in unincorporated Story County, repealing all ordinances and parts of ordinances in conflict herewith, establishing an effective date. Brian Newsroom. Man, that's a mouthful.
I was going to say the same thing.
So basically, it's S-14 north and south of Nevada. Is that correct?
Precisely.
It's currently West 4th.
Yep.
And in order to keep it more in line with the city's numbering system, you want to change to West 3rd.
Correct.
Okay. Go ahead.
Here you can see a map showing those affected areas, the road sections that will be need to be renamed to West 3rd Street and Southwest 3rd Street are highlighted there in blue, as well as in this area there are nine properties that currently have an E911 address assigned to them that will be affected by this change. It will require a change of address through this procedure, and those are highlighted there in red. We kind of zoom in them just a little bit. I did want to kind of note this is a new all online. It's called a story map that kind of outlines through a map this process and through the help of our GIS coordinator and Kristen, our office assistant. So there you can see the affected properties just south of Nevada. There and again, you know, this is being done through a decision that Nevada did to change their grid patterns to create consistency between their road names and Story counties. So with that, you know, just staff would request that you move to approve this road renaming and second consideration for next week's meeting.
Question, Ryan. As I was reading through the material and document, there was a question in the proposal about notifying the property owners, and there was also a August 18th public meeting. If action is taken to go ahead and approve this, are those items still need to take place? I assume the public meeting is to allow for comments from existing property owners that's going to be impacted or not?
It's just that's a required procedures for ordinances that we have to set the move a resolution to set the public hearing for today, and that's what we're doing today is actually considering the ordinance change.
Oh, so it's no formal action is being taken. We're just considering it.
This is first consideration.
We have to go through that process.
Yeah,
so that was part of one of my concerns is whether or not there will be ample opportunity for those affected to do so. And then how does Uncle Sam play into this when it comes to the postal change?
For any change of address, there's a work order that gets placed. All the postmasters that need to be notified of the change get notified. Obviously, the affected property owners, the inconvenience that they would have would be to having to change their address for, you know, all their bills and whatnot. So the county does understand that this is somewhat of an inconvenience, but the county, our department, as well as E-91 coordinator, handles all the notifications that need to be handled as far as an address change.
Okay. Yeah, that was my only question.
Okay. This is a public hearing item, so I will open the public hearing, and if anyone has any questions or comments concerning this, now would be the time to come forward. And not see anybody moving towards the mic, I will close
I still don't understand why the change.
Please be seated so we can get your comments. State your name and.
Kenneth Nelson. I live at 1409 Southwest 4th Street.
Well, it's my understanding that the city of Nevada has changed their grid pattern, or going to. Is that correct, Ryan? They already did. So West 4th Street is no longer in series with what the city's grid pattern is. And that's why they want to change it from West 4th to West 3rd Street. And that's all the information.
And it's designed, from what I read in the information, with E911 and emergency response time and all of that, the potential confusion, this would clear up that. And so that in the event there was an emergency by first responders or folks, that hopefully would be one of the main concerns as well. And so those agencies have actually been contacted and come on board and is also in support of this recommended change.
So what streets did they change in Nevada?
I'm not sure what streets they changed in Nevada.
They changed more than a few. This is the only one that would affect where the road actually extends out into unincorporated areas. But for several reasons that are unbeknownst to me, we were actually notified by the E911 coordinator to get this in front of the board for the change. So she may be able to elucidate a little bit more information about the reasonings. But I do know it was to create more consistency of their grid pattern in the city. So several were changed, but this one was the only one that affected county roads.
I think, just for me, I'm going to ask that we have somebody from the city come next week and see if we can get our E911 coordinator to come next week. Because it's a public hearing. It's going to require three readings in order for this to pass. Mm-hmm. And this is just our first reading. So I'm going to ask that we have here some more staff information.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
You bet. Anybody else? Okay. With that, I would turn to the board.
Okay, I would go.
I'm going to close the public.
Okay, yeah, I forgot. You didn't use that word close. All right, I would.
Well, I'm just the vice chair.
Move approval of ordinance 241 and set the second consideration for Tuesday, August 25th, with the understanding that we will ask for additional information from staff as part of the public hearing process.
Now, second that, is there anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Aye. Second here. Yeah, second consideration, August 25th.
Right.
Thanks, Ryan. Next, under additional items, consideration of resolution 1611 approving the final subdivision plat of Pleasant Grove subdivision located on certain lands under the ownership of the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation located in Section 6 of Milford Township.
I'm actually going to have Mr. Andrew Watson, our intern. This is last week here, so I'm giving him the opportunity to present this to you today.
Okay. All right. So this is regarding the Pleasant Grove subdivision. The property owners the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation, and it's an area of land located north of 170th Street in Story County, approximately 700 feet west of Interstate 35 in the northwest corner of Milford Township. It's about 31 acres, and it's currently classified as residential, and the land use framework map designates it as a natural resources area, and there's no city within 2 miles. And now here's just a picture of pretty much where it is. The nature of the request, the application is to consider a minor subdivision, plat of one parcel into two lots and one outlot in the agricultural district and the Greenbelt Conservation Zoning District. Outlot A, currently in a conservation easement, will be deeded to Story County Conservation after the subdivision, and the remainder will serve as the ground for a future church expansion of Pleasant Grove Church on Lot 1 and Lot 2. And Lot 2 will serve to expand the boundaries of the Milford Township Cemetery. The subdivision is being reviewed as a minor subdivision plat. The Planning and Zoning Commission provides a recommendation only on minor plats to the Board of Supervisors. As I said before, it's agriculture and in the Greenbelt Conservation District. And then here's just a plat of it. And because there's no development proposed with this subdivision, much of the site planning standards of Chapter 88 do not apply. And based off staff's review, it appears that this plat meets all applicable requirements to be processed as a minor subdivision plat, and the staff recommends approval of the proposed subdivision. And these are comments from the interagency review team, from the auditor of conservation. The survey addresses our concerns from the first time we saw it, and we have no additional comments. From the general public, notification letters were mailed out to surrounding property owners regarding the subject hearing on the subdivision request on July 17, 2015. And from the floodplain management program, the property is located in a special flood hazard area as defined by FEMA. As such, the requirements of the floodplain management ordinance are not applicable. At their August 5th, 2015 meeting, the Story County Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval of the minor subdivision plat as put forth in case sub 0415 to the Story County Board of Supervisors and direct staff to place this item on the August 18th, 2015 Board of Supervisors agenda. And the Board of Supervisors may consider four alternatives on the subdivision plat. These alternatives are: the Story County Board of Supervisors accepts the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission approving the final subdivision plat of Pleasant Grove Subdivision as put forth in the case sub 0415 with conditions and adopts resolution number 1611. The Story County Board of Supervisors acknowledges the recommendations of the Planning and Zoning Commission, however, approves the final subdivision plat of the Pleasant Grove Subdivision as put forth in case sub 0415 and with alternative conditions and adopts resolution number 1611. The Story County Board of Supervisors acknowledges the recommendations of the Planning and Zoning Commission, however, denies the final subdivision plat of the Pleasant Grove Subdivision as put forth in case sub 0415 and adopts resolution number 1611 denying the plat. The Story County Board of Supervisors postpones the decision on the final subdivision plat as put forth in case sub 0415 and directs the applicant to address specific areas of additional information to further review and or modifications and work with staff to place that plat back on the Board of Supervisors agenda no later than August 25th. That concludes the presentation.
Other question or comment that I would have, in the options that are listed, you mentioned the possibility of conditions as just part of a statement. However, past practice says that usually either Planning and Zoning Commission recommends a condition or staff recommends a certain condition be considered. In my review of this, I didn't see where there was any conditions other than the maybe the comment acknowledging that the area in the floodplain basically is there, and I would assume that's there. But my comment has more to do for public view. This has been something that had been brought before the conservation board because of the church wanting to expand that area that would have an impact on conservation easement in that particular area. And I understand that Mike and the conservation board have been working through this process and feel comfortable at this point with recommending that we move forward with this. So I didn't know whether you might comment regarding any of those conditions, if need be. To your knowledge, were there any conditions that need to be notified, acknowledged at this time?
No. We leave that in there in case something comes up during the public hearing that may behoove the board to add a condition in through that process. So that's why that was left on there. We do not have any recommended conditions for this case.
Okay.
Basically, it's being subdivided so the conservation can get their easement from the Heritage, Iowa Heritage Foundation. Is that correct?
Wayne? No.
Well, the subdivision is for the transfer.
Can you come over maybe and show that we can get this on the mic, please, and record it since we recorded this.
Okay. Thanks. And with me is Ross Baxter with Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation, and he can explain this very well. But just very briefly, the subdivision, from my understanding, is for to allow the transfer of a part of that larger original parcel over to the church,
okay.
And then consequently to the cemetery as well.
Okay.
Yeah, because we had to split it into three parcels, because there's also that lot for the cemetery. That's why the subdivision was required.
Okay.
If it was just to the church, it wouldn't have been. But because of that additional lot that, you know, at some point will go to Milford Township, it was needed in this case.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for that additional information.
Mm-hmm.
With that, I would move alternative one. And we accept the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
We'll go to a motion to approve Resolution 1611.
Uh-huh.
Is there anything? I'll second that motion. Is there anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. That's been approved. Thank you. Departmental reports. None. Other reports. Presentation of the 2015 urban renewal applications. Leanne Carter. Morning, Leanne.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm not going to just sit down briefly just to introduce you to the projects you have before you today. We wanted to try and do three and three, but unfortunately the schedule did not allow. So today you'll hear from, in order, the City of Huxley, the City of Slater, and Mary Beth will present both applications A and B, as we've named them, and then the City of Story City. And then finally we'll do Colonesco School District. The superintendent's at a meeting for new teachers, so we'll try to make sure we get him in at the end.
Okay.
But with that, I will just have Travis come up and start with the City of Huxley.
Thanks for having me this morning. My name is Travis Bach, and I'm the Director of Parks and Rec for the City of Huxley. As you all know, the City of Huxley has grown substantially over the last 10 years. With that being said, there's been a higher demand placed on our city park system. I'm here today to talk a little bit about Centennial Park and the improvements we would like to make at that park. Centennial Park is probably the park in Huxley to visit. It's our biggest park, little over 30 acres. It has three baseball diamonds, basketball court, sand volleyball, tennis courts, and an outdoor shelter that's available for rental. Today, I would like you guys to consider us for funding to purchase a new playground structure to add to the Centennial Park. Currently, we have one structure, and it just isn't meeting the demands that have been placed on the park throughout the week and the weekends. The playground structure that we're looking at purchasing, the total cost of the project is $27,500. We would do a community build, which would be an in-kind donation of $7,300, and then we have $2,000 to contribute from the Parks and Rec budget. We are asking to be considered for funding in the amount of $18,200 to purchase the new playground structure to be installed at the park.
Mayor, more from a clarification standpoint, when you first read the comment structure, first thought is building, and I would like you to clarify that what we're not talking about a building,
right?
Structure here, and so the diagram here basically shows that this is a form of playground equipment that could be accessed by individuals and so forth. Is that primarily? Am I correct in
yes,
my
sir.
Assessment there?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
When you say community build, that means volunteers
are
actually
right. Yes, Huxley Little League, a couple in-town organizations, the park board, all of them have expressed interest in helping us put this project together if it were to be funded. This structure is designed for ages 5 to 12, and that's typically a lot of the youth users we see in our park. And this could this structure could support up to 40 to 50 kids at any given time. It includes three slides, a climbing bar, and a couple of a crunch station. You know, so it has a lot to offer.
Is this an addition to what you've got out there, or is it replacing?
It would be an addition to. It would go next to the current playground system we have, which has been there, I think, over 15 years. So.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate any consideration you guys will give the project.
You bet.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Is this yours? No, this flash right here. Is that one? Can I take it out? While I'm doing this, I've been trying to actually talk too. Just while I have sitting here, I have the opportunity to share with everyone the process. Next week will be the consultation meeting at 9:00 with the Board of Supervisors, and all taxing entities have been invited. And then starting shortly thereafter, we'll do the resolutions for the public notices, and then really kick the decision-making process off through September and October. But again, last week and this week is the opportunity for the board to meet with the applicants in the process and just get some more information. And that's it.
Yep.
Okay. There you go. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Mary Beth Sprouse. I'm the city administrator for the city of Slater. I am filling in for Jennifer, who is your familiar face this morning, so bear with me while I muddle through her economic development stuff. We have two projects that we would like you to consider. The first project that I have listed is our Main Street improvement. It's a continuation of the project that you funded last year. What we are looking at is the corner of Main Street and Marshall Street. I don't know if you need to dim that so everybody can see it. The grant that we asked for last year was to do the area in front of our city hall and start our streetscape to revitalize our downtown area. This is a picture of it almost completed. We still have a light pole that needs to go in that is on order and still hasn't shown up yet. But we took and redid all of the parking area, the sidewalk, created a much better handicap accessibility. The color squares right there with the black, that's where the handicap area comes in. And we followed that black pattern up at our doorway to make it more visually appealing. It takes care of some water runoff problems and makes our parking a whole lot better. Got rid of the crumbling concrete. We would like to continue that pattern through all of Main Street. The area that we are looking at doing with this grant, if we are given it, is right in front of the city's grocery store. That is our busiest area of our Main Street. That grocery store has over 600 receipts per day, which we think is amazing considering there are only 600 houses in the city of Slater. The views that you are looking at, the one on the left is looking to the east. The one on the right is looking to the south. As you can see, we have some concrete issues. We have a drainage issue with an intake right where the handicap accessibility ramp starts to come down. We have a lot of cracking. We have a lot of vegetation that has been making a home there. This is some of the sidewalk in front of that store. And when we get to winter, all it does is freeze up and create a nice little patch of ice for everybody who's trying to get in and out. Our eventual goal will be to redo all of our two-block Main Street area and put in the vintage lighting. That's a picture of the light pole we have on order for down at our end. That would be the first one. This area would have three of those, and they will have the posts to put on our city banners. We've just redone our logo and all of our pictures regarding the city in this last year as well. So we're trying to kind of brand our city a little bit and help market it to incoming business. Like I said, that's our busiest area of Main Street. It's 292 feet of sidewalk that we would be doing. We will redo the handicap access. We will do that in that printed color so it makes it obvious that there's something there to be looking for. Three vintage lamp posts. Our approximate cost for this project is $61,500, and our grant request is $46,125. That is it for that one, if you have questions.
I know.
I noticed in the past, the first stage a year ago was mostly the smaller area, mostly sidewalk, gutter replacement and things like that, kind of enhancing that. Is this this is not a phased-in process? If you receive the funding, as the picture showed, you're hoping to complete all of this.
The grant that we're asking for this year would do both of those sides of that busiest intersection. We hope to continue working through this project between some TIF money that the city has and hopefully some other grant funding to be able to do all of Main Street, but we're trying to start with the key areas and make it into small enough sections that we can complete those projects without it being a problem for the adjacent area.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Right, moving on to our next project, we are doing a significant amount of work on our Main Street. As you know, for a small town, any bit of commercial business that we can have is a tremendous boost to our tax base, and it's very important for us to keep our Main Street. Slater has been in the position of having to clean up a building that fell down, to take down buildings before they fell down. And as you may be aware, we did a big renovation project through a combination of grants 2 years ago that I have pictures of to save a building. We're hoping to do another project to save two buildings. We kind of think of them as one project because they have a common roof, a common front. This is 404 and 406 Main Street. The buildings have been vacant for 16 years. They are in questionable condition. They are in disrepair. They have deteriorated. The roof is still solid, but they need some attention before they cause a problem. We are very concerned about these properties because they share common walls with adjacent buildings. Those adjacent buildings are well maintained and occupied. One of those buildings that's adjacent to this had the building on the other side that fell down in 2007. We're very concerned that if it had a building fall off the other side of it, that it would not be structurally sound and we would lose most of that block of Main Street. It needs significant masonry work. It's brick. The floor joists need to be stabilized, and our goal would be to renovate that building to a usable shell. We've already started by doing the asbestos environmental testing. We just need to keep this ball rolling. There is a picture of the property. The picture on the left is our 404 and 406 is the center building. The buildings adjacent to it are the ones it shares common walls with. The picture on the right is a picture of the back of 404 and 406. As you can see, they're very narrow properties, so we think its best use is probably to be combined and be used as one property. One is 12 feet, one is 13 feet wide. Here are some interior pictures. The floor toward the back is pretty much gone. The floor joists are starting to rot, and we're starting to lose bricks. It needs to be tuck pointed badly. there's another picture near the back door. And the picture on the right, if you can see, that's the back door of the building. And the back door is actually only kind of sitting in the building. The brick has deteriorated to the point where you can see daylight around some of the brick area. And we're very thankful that's not a load-bearing wall. The city of Slater has had a big success story with the renovation of another Main Street project. This was 421 Main when we started on it. I can tell you from having been in that building that you could stand on the main floor and be rained on through both the roof and the second story. You wanted to wear a mask when you were in there. It was the smell was incredible. And that was a combination project through multiple grants, derelict building, brownfields. We worked with the state. It actually just won a state award, and that is what it looks like today. It has a business on the first floor and residential on the second floor. So this is a project that we are trying to undertake similar to this one that we had so much success with. Again, our concerns are that 404 and 406 are in the middle of a block. We would like to create new business space and save that structure, plus its adjacent buildings. We like this project because it has the opportunity for cooperation between the city, the county, the state. And we also have a private person who is interested in renting that building once it's ready to put in a cafe and bakery and possibly ice cream shop. They would hopefully take over that building as a rental and rent to own until the business could get up and running enough to purchase that building back from the city. We will be doing the DNR grant. The next round, I believe, is January for the asbestos removal, the engineering, stabilization, tuck pointing, windows and doors, the same way we did for the 421 project. Approximate cost to get it to just a usable shell where the building is secured is $121,500, and we are looking for $30,000 to assist in purchase of the building from its current owner and getting started with the renovation.
Okay. Thank you. Question that comes to mind is when we look at the number of requests that we will be considering and the projected dollar amount in prior years, you know, it's we haven't always met the exact dollar figure that has been requested. My concern when you have two projects, each appear to have significant merit. Have you thought in terms of if it becomes necessary to prioritize one or the other, and if at, and I'm not sure on the process, and this is more of a Leanne question in the process, but if it came down to trying to look at that, would you consider bringing forth a maybe only one of those projects for consideration this time around?
Absolutely. We don't want our streetscape to fall off the radar. You know, that's certainly an end game of all of Main Street, but the 404-406 project is far more critical. We feel like if we don't do something with that building, not only do we chance losing it, but the building's beside it. So that's the one that we would pick to move forward with if we had to pick between the two.
Okay. Thank you.
And you had an engineer come in and look at the building to make sure it's worth $120,000 then?
We have. We've had an engineer in to do some estimates. We've had Safe Building Inspection come in. Because the roof is still intact and in good shape and the common walls look to still be in good shape, the tuck pointing on the back of the building, the estimate for that came in at about $4,000 to get the back fixed. And then we just start looking at the floor joists, the asbestos removal. We'll be looking at about a $60,000 grant from the DNR to be doing that. We feel that it's worth saving, partly on the merit that it would save the buildings beside it.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a bad movie, isn't it, Paul? Keep returning.
You have the adjectives.
I'm Mark Jackson, City Administrator in Story City.
Mike Jensen, Mayor in Story City.
Our proposal has to do with the refurbishing of our South Park in Story City. Wayne, in case you want to know, that's on Broad Street, and it's south of Broad, hence the name South Park.
Okay.
We're pretty inventive with our names in Story City.
I think I'm really with it, you know. With my Norwegian heritage, I think I understand.
Go ahead, Mike.
Well, the South Park is very heavily used. The Skunk River runs through there. We have a 1936 swinging bridge that the WPA put in, and at the same time they did a shelter house and the dam in the park. Well, time has taken its toll on the shelter house. We've spent money and raised money to redo the swinging bridge, and that's lit and a big attraction. But the shelter house and the South Park, we'd like to spend some money and some time and renovate that because of the heavy use in that park. And a little bit, Mark will tell you some of the particulars that we're looking at. But all the surveys that we run in the community to see where the interest is of the people, the park system is one of the top ones, and the trail system's right up there with it. We have a lot of trail system that goes through that park, and that we spent some money and put a new bridge in to cross the river into the new housing area and put more trail in there. So the South Park just ties all that together, and that's what we're here for today, to ask about funding for that, and Mark can give you some particulars on that.
Yeah, as the mayor indicated, the restoration of the South Park has come up as one of the top three priorities that were identified through our strategic planning with the council and the community, and as well as our parks and recreation plan as well. And you've got a map of kind of what outlines what we're looking at doing there. And the first important thing to note is that the South Skunk River flows through the middle of this park through there. And so what we're looking at doing, as the mayor alluded to, is that there is an enclosed WPA shelter house there. I've been through five floods in there, and this shelter just needs to, we're going to keep the stone portion of it, which includes part of the fireplace, but we're going to make it a larger and an open picnic shelter. So that's the key anchor into that park as well. The other keys that we're looking at doing is doing two scenic overlooks into this area as well. One is a north overlook and one is a south. We're going to do some connecting trails in there. Because right now there is no, it's an all grass area. So if you're elderly or handicapped, there's no good access in that area as well. So we're going to add that. And then I can't remember when it's the starting point as well of the South Skunk Trail. Canoe? Water trail. Thanks. I'm not a canoeist, but it's a water trail and they canoe through there. So that's the starting point. Mike, actually, I think you put that boat launch in.
How canoe many, access.
Canoe access. There's fishing done through there. We're also going to do some improvements in terms of the picnic area down through there as well. So that, in essence, is kind of the heart of what we're looking at doing through the South Park.
There's a handicap fishing access there, too, that the trails to that would really be a plus.
Sure. This park is utilized, but it's underutilized. This will enhance this area immensely.
The Frisbee Golf Course there also that gets very heavy use. That was an Eagle Scout project that I never thought would fly, and it's just used every single day.
Estimated cost of the project is a little over $400,000, and we're requesting from the county board $80,300.
Any questions? No. Some of the outdoor recreational opportunities, the enhancement of the area with trails, things of all that nature, the river improvement, I think all kind of fits into some of the things that we, through county conservation, as we look at our communities and improvement, appears to be a vision that is certainly, I want to compliment your community for listing it as a top priority. I think those are the types of quality of life issues that sometimes we overlook that make a big difference in terms of enhancing the overall vitality of a community. So thank you for your presentation, and we'll certainly be giving it. It
should be noted that we are applying for a REAP grant, and so we went through the County Conservation's REAP Committee, and even in helping and developing that grant application, I ran it by Mike Cox here, and he was very helpful with some of the language and points of emphasis. So, you know, Mike was very helpful on this, and we wanted to note that as well.
Yeah, we appreciate all that. So appreciate being here today. So thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jay. Is your last applicant just made his way in? Carrying his umbrella, so I think it's raining out there.
It's raining out there. Great. That's just what we need.
And thank you, first of all, for the opportunity, and thank you for rearranging the schedule, allowing me to be here. We have our teachers in this morning for the first time, and so it's been a busy morning with that. So thank you very much. Our application, I believe that you have, is basically to continue what we've started 3 years ago, designing and developing a playground area and structure in the Zering, in the community of Zering, is associated with our school. And as I said in my preliminary paperwork to you, this is kind of the entrance, if you will, to the Dankin Lank project, which has been wonderful. I didn't put this in any one of my paperwork, but you might remember if you've been up in that area, which I'm sure you have, we had an old garage that sat there that looked pretty rough and pretty dilapidated, and we've been able to redo that. It's not a big deal, but at least we're not embarrassed by visitors coming to the lake now and looking on our district and saying that. So this is all kind of part of that. I think it works in really well. The work that we've done thus far in the community with the playground and the play area been well used by our students, obviously, during the course of the school day, and it does give a recreational opportunity and area to members of our community that can use it. It's wide open. They can use it at any time, as well can any visitors that might be coming to that lake region to enjoy that. Each of the years we've asked for a little bit less, as you probably can see if you track our history in getting the projects done. This project consists of a playground equipment for preschool students, and we have to have that by law. We have to have an appropriate playground for them. So this is kind of mandated to us. It wasn't something that we were really thinking about doing, but we have shifted our preschool program from the McCallsburg Center to the Zering Center, and we'll have to provide an appropriate playground by law for those young people to play on. So that's really what the project consists of. That it allows basically students K to 4 that we're educating in that facility the opportunity to have safe and adequate playground structures, a green space. We also did an asphalt portion of that for basketball hoops, et cetera, and four square. So it's really turned out to be quite a project and something more than I think we even intended it or saw it to be at the beginning. So if you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to address those.
Just east of the building itself?
Yes, it's the east of the building, right across the street from the actual school. We purchased, I think, 3 acres a few years ago. In preparation for that. We just didn't have anywhere else to go.
So it would be quite visible then to the entry into the lake as well.
It's really literally across the street, right from the entrance, yeah.
And you see this as kind of the last phase of this?
I really do. You know, I know I've been coming knocking on the door for a period of time, but I think that now we've moved into that where we've gotten all of the equipment established, we have the green space established, we have the asphalt or hard surface established. So I think for the time being, yes, that would be it. The rest of it would be the district maybe doing some enhancements with some benches, et cetera, which are probably things that we can do out of our PEPL account. But with the district being where it's been over the course of time and prior to my getting there, this has just been a blessing to us, really. I mean, everybody will say that to you, but we wouldn't have it without the opportunity for this grant.
Very good.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Thank you for working with me.
And you're the dad, follow-up? Okay, and that's it for today, correct? Okay.
That's all.
That's it, okay.
All together.
That takes us down to public forum number 2, comments from the public. Items not on this agenda, the board may not take any actions on the items due to the requirements of the open meeting law, or may do so in the future. Hey, that's okay.
Good morning, board.
Good morning.
I wanted to take this opportunity to introduce a new face here in Story County, and that's our planning and zoning, planning development director, Jerry Moore. He's here in the audience. Today is his first day, and he's toured the administration building, met some department heads and elected officials and other county staff. So we will be seeing more of him probably right here in the very near future. And I also want to take this opportunity to commend the planning and development staff, Ryan, Kristen, and Andrew, for keeping things running so smoothly during this transition with directors. So that's what I want to say.
I'm glad to hear that Andy's going to remain a Cyclone, although he's a Hawkeye apart. He's going to go back to Iowa State. So. And I want to put Jerry on the spot. If he'd come up here to the microphone.
Oh, definitely. I was about to ask. We want to hear his voice.
Just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you and how you ended up here.
I'm Jerry Moore. I came from Polk County. I was a planner for almost 17 years, working in planning and development in that department. It's a part of Public Works there. Spent most of my time reviewing rezoning petitions, conditional use permits, variance appeals, those types of things, and then also assisting with the on-site review of commercial and industrial sites, helping business owners and developers implement their required site improvements. I spent 6 years at the Iowa League of Cities, and I don't know if Mark remembers me, but I was at the Iowa League of Cities. You look.
We've aged.
I've aged. You have not. Helping city officials with budgeting, annual financial reporting, road use tax forms, assistance with state laws. I was the contact person for the Americans with Disabilities Act and did workshops on those types of things. So, born in Sioux City, raised in Sioux City, went to Iowa State. I'm an Iowa State Cyclone, and obtained a master's degree at Drake after getting my undergraduate degree. Very happy to be here. I look forward to working with you, the board, and a selling point for me in coming here was after meeting with the staff and those that interviewed me, I got very excited about the position, so I'm very happy that I was the one that was selected. So I'm looking forward to long-term working relationship with you and the staff, and I'm just excited to be here.
We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's going to be a little more fast-paced in Polk County, but you'll adjust. I'm
going to like it.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Pleasure having you here and look forward to working with you.
Liaison assignments and committee meetings. Wayne?
Past. I was scheduled to maybe still have a meeting down at CERCLA this afternoon, and I'm still waiting to find out if that's still on. Other than that, don't think there's pretty anything else coming up this week.
Okay.
Excuse me. AGMPO is meeting tonight.
Okay.
And they will be prioritizing several of the projects. That meeting will be in the council chamber at 6 p.m. and I will be attending that.
I'll pass. Any announcements, Wayne?
No.
I'll pass also. I'll take a motion for adjournment.
So move.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.